الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، after reading the introduction, the author, he mentioned حفظه الله تعالى, clarifying the methodology of the devil with regards to misleading the children of Adam. That's by way of the shahawat, the impermissible lusts that are forbidden and displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the shubuhat, which are the doubts and misconceptions. And these are even more dangerous because they're related directly to the religion. And from that aspect is that the devil will try to cause a person to go to extremes and to exaggerate in obedience and in following the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and thus transgress the limits and practice the religion in a manner that is forbidden and not allowed and not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he clarified as well in the introduction the importance of knowledge and the status of knowledge and the position of the people of knowledge, and the great blessing to be guided to study at the hands of the people of knowledge, the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, the knowledge of the understanding of the narrations that have been narrated from the Salaf of this Ummah. And he mentioned great benefits clarifying this affair, like the story of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma whenever he debated the Khawarij, and likewise like the story of Yazid al-Faqir rahimahullah whenever him and a number of individuals had intended to make khuruj and revolt against the ruler after making Hajj, and Allah guided them to sit with Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, and he, by the decree of Allah and His grace, was discussing the same issue that they had a problem with, and they were guided by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the direction and the advice of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. And we have seen likewise that young age many times is a reason for being hasty and not understanding situations properly and making mistakes and error in judgment. And therefore, it's of utmost importance for the youth to return back to the people of knowledge, those who are elders and those who are strong, those who are grounded, and those who have foundations and fundamentals, and their hairs and their beards have grown gray with knowledge and seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge. And they are very experienced in the field of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and distinguishing the rulings and clarifying the truth from the falsehood. After this introduction, the author, he says, بِأَيِّ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ يَكُونُ التَّفْجِيرُ وَالتَّدْمِيرُ جِهَادٍ. By which mind, intellect and religion can explosions and destruction be considered jihad? And in which mind would truly consider this affair, in which religion would declare it lawful to make explosions, killing innocent people, and widespread chaos and commotion, and destroying property relentlessly, without any distinguishment or consideration for life, whether they are innocent, whether they are involved, whether it is pleasing to Allah or not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by which mind and intellect, by which religion can explosions and great destruction be considered jihad? So the author, he says, بَعْدَ هَذَا تَمْهِيدِ بِذِكْرِ أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَدْخُلُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْعِبَادِةِ لِإِفْسَادِ دِينِهِمْ من باب الإفراط والغلو في الدين من باب الإفراط والغلو في الدين كما حصل في الخوارج والعصابة التي شغفت برأيهم وأن طريق السلامة من الفتن والرجوع إلى أهل العلم وأن طريق السلامة من الفتن الرجوع إلى أهل العلم كما حصل رجوع عرفين من الخوارج بعد مناظرة ابن عباس رضي الله عنهم وعدول الإصابة عما همت به من الباطل وعدول العصابة عما همت به من الباطل برجوعها إلى جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما. So the author, he says, after this preamble mentioning that the devil enters upon those devoted to worship in order to corrupt their religion through extremism and excessiveness, just as has happened with the Khawarij and the group fascinated by their views, and that the path to safety from trials is by returning to the scholars, as exemplified by the return of 2,000 Khawarij after the debate with Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, and the group's abandonment of their intended falsehood after returning to Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. بعد هذا التمهيد أقول ما أشبه الليلة بالبارحة فإن ما حصل من التفجير والتدمير في مدينة الرياض وما عثر عليه من أسلحة ومتفجرات في مكة والمدينة في أوائل هذا العام 24,400 هجريا هو نتيجة لإغواء الشيطان وتزيينه الإفراط والغلو لمن حصل منهم ذلك. After this introduction, I say how similar the night is to the previous one. For what occurred of bombings and destruction in Riyadh, and what was discovered of weapons and explosives in Mecca and Medina at the beginning of the year 1424 Hijrian, is the result of the devil's deception and beautification of extremism and excessiveness, of extremism and excessiveness for those involved. So here the author, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he's mentioning the reason, the encouragement for him to author this work, the events that occurred in Riyadh in 1424, and likewise in Mecca and Medina, there were explosions. And likewise they had found stored weapons and the likes like this, with bombs, so on and so forth, from the people who were affected by these ideologies from within Al-Mamlaka Al-Arabiya Saudiya, Harasaha Allahu Azza wa Jal. And actually, explosions took place. And it was a sad situation. So the author, he wrote this work in sincere advice with regards to this affair specifically. So he says, وَهَذَا الَّذِي حَصَلَ مِنْ أَقْبَحِ مَا يَكُونُ فِي الْإِجْرَامِ وَالْإِفْسَادِ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَقْبَحُ مِنْهُ أَنْ يُزَيِّنَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِمَنْ قَامَ بِهِ أَنَّهُ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ وَبِأَيِّ أَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ يَكُونُ جِهَادٍ قَتَلَ النَّفْسِ وَقَتَلَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُعَاهَدِينَ وَتَرْوِيعَ الْآمِنِينَ وَتَرْمِيلَ النِّسَاءِ وَتَيْتِيمِ الْأَطْفَالِ وَتَدْمِيرَ الْمَبَانِي عَلَى مَنْ فِيهَا. What occurred is among the most heinous crimes and corruption on earth. And worse still is that the devil beautifies for those who committed it the idea that it is jihad. And so this is a foul and lowly way, that they would cause such chaos and commotion and destruction and explosions and murder and the likes like this in this manner in the lands of the believers, and bringing this great chaos and turmoil. That this is a heinous crime. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ But worse than that, is that they do it and they believe that it's pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they ascribe it to the religion. By which mind and religion is it considered jihad? To kill oneself, to kill Muslims and those under covenant. And to kill oneself, this is jihad. To kill the Muslims and murder them, this is jihad. To kill and murder those who have a covenant of safety along with the Muslims, this is jihad. To terrorize the secure, those who people who are living in safety, going about to their market and to their job and occupation, and going to their school and learning and studying, and going back and forth to the masjid, to terrorize them and put them in fear for their very lives. This is jihad. To render women, Muslim women, widows and orphan the children, this is considered jihad. Fi sabilillah, waliyadhi billah. To destroy the buildings, with the people inside of them, and that they crumble down on top of their heads until they die likewise in destruction of the buildings that they are in, and to destroy the buildings upon their inhabitants. This is considered jihad. The people of knowledge have clarified that this is definitely jihad, but it's not jihad fi sabilillah. It's jihad fi sabili iblis waliyadhi billah. This is striving and fighting in the cause of the devil, And how misguided and deviant are those who truly believe that that is the deen of Allah, that is pleasing to Allah, and that's jihad fi sabili Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahu al-musta'an. So the author, he's mentioning here great points. What sound mind would consider this to be jihad, or fighting in the path of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah? What religion would allow this? And consider this to truly be striving and fighting in the path of Allah? Qatlun nafs, for a person to kill his own self. Taqtilul muslimin, to murder the Muslims left and right. Wal mu'ahadeen, and likewise those who have covenants of treaties, and treaties and the likes like this. Treaties of peace, covenants of safety and security along with the Muslims, to murder them, Or tarwi' al-amineen, and to frighten the people who are in security, to frighten the citizens who are going about in safety and security, and to tarmil and nisa, to cause the women to become widows, and meaning to murder their husbands and leave those women homeless or without husbands and without guardians, protectors. Wa taytim al atfal, likewise, and causing the children to become orphans. All of this is the efforts that they have done. The efforts of the Khawarij, waliyadhu billah. This is what they're doing to the believers, to the Muslims. Wa tadmir al mabani ala man fiha, and to destroy the buildings upon their inhabitants. And while the people are inside of them, they blow them up until those buildings, they fall on top of them and murder them. They fall on the top of them and destroy them, and thus they murder them. Waliyadhu billah. So which religion would truly consider this to be jihad. Which sound mind could ever approve of this and consider it to be something praiseworthy and good? Even with regards to instilling fear in the hearts and the heart of a Muslim, with regards to instilling fear in the heart of a Muslim, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. It's been collected by Al-Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan, rahimahullahu ta'ala, with his chain to Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, rahimahullah, from the Tabi'een. Qala hadathana ashabu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated to him, meaning that this is something that they heard from a number of companions. Annahum kanu yasiruna ma'a nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fanama rajulun minhum فانطلق بعضهم إلى حبل معه فأخذه ففزع فأخذه ففزع. He said that the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they told us that they were traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time, and a man among them fell asleep, and some of them went to a rope that he had along with him, and the man he's sleeping had a rope along with him, and so they took the rope, startling him, this man like this, as a joke, the man he's sleeping, he's got a rope with him, so they come up and they sneak up on him while he's sleeping and snatch the rope in this manner like this to wake him up and startle him. I need to laugh as a joke with their brother. Upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يُرَوِّعَ مُسْلِمًا لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ and يُرَوِّعَ مُسْلِمًا, that it is not allowed, it is not lawful for a Muslim to frighten another Muslim. It is not lawful for a Muslim to frighten another Muslim. So this is not lawful for a Muslim to put fear in another Muslim, not even if he's joking. He can't just be joking around and say something to him to make him scared, to say something to him to make him believe, play a game. Oh, you know what happened to your son? Oh, there was a great wreck on the road and I seen your dad's car. Like this, to just lie and joke. Lying in the first place is not allowed, even when joking. But to do that, to instill fear in a believer, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. Or to come behind them and startle them and the likes like this, to catch them by surprise until they're afraid and they're shook for a second. Then even maybe it's only briefly, after that they find out that it's their brother or their family member or their friend and the likes like this. All of this is not allowed. And this is in preservation of the rights of a believer. A believer, he should be safe from another believer. His blood and his honor and his wealth, inwardly and outwardly. His heart should be safe from the believer. It's not allowed to harm a believer physically. It's not allowed to harm a believer in his wealth. It's not allowed to harm a believer in his blood. It's not allowed to harm a believer in his property or in his family. And it's not allowed to harm a believer's heart. Likewise, the hearts are sacred with Allah Azza wa Jal. So from the beauty of Islam is that it's a deen al-qulub, it's a religion of hearts. So it observes these affairs. And from the great deeds that are beloved to Allah is to instill happiness and joy in the heart of a believer and to inform them of something good. If a person, he knows something good, he will inform them. Like whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Mu'adh that the right of Allah upon the slaves is that they should worship Him alone with no partners. And the right of the slaves upon Allah is that if they do that, then Allah will not punish them. If they do that, Allah will not punish them. Whenever he heard this great narration, he said, أَفَلَا أُبَشِّرُ النَّاسِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا أُبَشِّرُ النَّاسِ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, should I not give the people glad tidings? Should I not inform them and give them glad tidings of this great narration so they have high hopes for the Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا تُبَشِّرُهُمْ فَيَتَكِلُوا. Do not inform them right now because they'll rely upon that. Meaning, let them work. So this narration reached us in this manner, indicating that there's a great promise for paradise for those who worship Allah alone with no partners, but it requires for a person to work. It requires for a person to work. The shahid here is that whenever Mu'adh radiallahu anhu heard this, he became very excited. He wanted to inform the people. He wanted to bring happiness to their hearts by informing them of this great news. So this is the way of a believer. He wants to bring happiness and joy to the heart of his fellow believers, not to frighten them or to scare them, not even in a manner that's joking. So this is from the completion and the perfection of the Islamic legislation. So this is a brief narration here, and it's been narrated by a number of companions, collected by Abu Dawood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يُرَوِّعَ مُسْلِمًا. لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يُرَوِّعَ مُسْلِمًا. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words, approximately. 6, 7 words. Who can memorize it? لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يُرَوِّعَ مسلماً. لا يحل لمسلمٍ أن يروع مسلماً. It's not lawful. It's not allowed. It's not halal. It's not permissible for a Muslim to frighten another Muslim. من الترويع. روع يروع. ترويعا. لا يحل لمسلم أن يروع مسلما. It's not allowed. It's not allowed. So this is from the beauty of Islam, the greatness of this deen, and the great rights and sacredness that a believer he has with his shahada, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has through his shahada with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this must be observed by all of the believers. So these people are contrary to this in entirety. The Khawarij and those who are affected by their ideologies are contrary to these ways in entirety. And this is the way of the deviant and the misguided. They go beyond the limits. They go beyond the limits. So it's not, if it's not even allowed to joke with somebody and to scare them, to frighten them, how about blowing them up in their house, in their home? How about making them afraid to even go to the masjid, that something may happen to them, that they'll be assassinated on their way to the masjid, or that there will be a bomb going off in the masjid, or in the market, and the likes like this. They can't even go to the markets because they're afraid of these khawarij. Someone is going to blow them up with their car, and the likes like this. Waliyadhu billah, which is what they do, many of them. And many of them, what they will do, whenever they do these great crimes in the masajid, they'll wait till the imam is on the last, in the tashahud. They wait till the imam is in the tashahud before they explode. They ignite their explosions. Why is that? Why don't they do it whenever he starts the khutbah? They wait till he's in the tashahud. We're in the end, the last rak'ah. Why? Make sure to get every last one of them. No one's left behind, because there's always latecomers, right? Coming in the last moment. So to make sure that all of them pay the price. And so they say in the likes like this, and to do away with all of them. They'll wait in this manner. This is known from them. This is from their ways. This just hearing this instills fear. This is a deviant and a lowly way. Worse than that is to claim that it's jihad fi sabilillah, that it's legislated and pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Worse than that is to claim that it's jihad fi sabilillah and that it's pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Which mind and intellect, this is beautiful. Ponder, which mind and intellect would affirm this, would believe this? Which religion, in reality, would consider this the proper way and the good path? وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ This is not proper. وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ إِرَادَ مَا أَمْكَانَ The Shaykh, he says, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ إِرَادَ مَا أَمْكَانَ مِنْ نُسُوسِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ فِي مَجِئِ الشَّرَائِعِ السَّابِقَةِ بِتَعْظِيمِ أَمْرِ الْقَتْلِ وَخَطَرِهِ وإرادة نصوص الكتاب والسنة في قتل المسلم نفسه وقتل غيره من المسلمين والمعاهدين عمدا وخطأ وذلك لإقامة الحجة وبيان المحجة وليهلك من هلك عن بينة ويحيى من حي عن بينة. Thus I have deemed it appropriate to present as much as possible from the text of the Quran and Sunnah that highlight the previous divine legislations, emphasize the gravity and danger of killings. The rulings of the Quran and Sunnah regarding a Muslim killing himself or killing others, whether among Muslims or protected, whether among Muslims or those protected under covenant and the likes, either intentionally or mistakenly, in order to establish the proof and clarify the path, so that the one who perishes, he does so upon evidence, and the one who lives, he does so upon evidence. So likewise, this is as well from the wisdom of authoring this work, based upon what had occurred in those days. And then after that, to give sincere advice and to clarify the path for the believers, so that those who are sincere, they can follow that guidance in their life, they can follow those evidences from the book and the sunnah, they can be upon insight and true light in their religion, and the judgments that they make, and the positions that they take, and the stances that they stand for with regards to these fitnah and trials that are occurring in these days. And likewise, so that those who deviate will deviate upon clarity, and the people will know them, and that they're from the people of deviation. So he's mentioning this affair. He's going to mention as much as he can, as much as possible, from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And wallahi, he mentioned a number of evidences. Hafidhahu Allah, it's full of evidences. Alhamdulillah, about one, about a Muslim killing himself, or about a Muslim killing other Muslims, or about a Muslim killing those under covenant with Muslims. Covenants of peace and contract and treaties and the likes like this, whether intentionally or unintentionally, the rulings are different, and there are evidences with regard to these affairs, and all of this is to clarify the truth, to establish the proof, and to clarify the path, and to defend the truth and its people. So he says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ وَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يَهْدِيَ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِلَى الصَّوَابِ أَنْ يَهْدِيَ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِلَى الصَّوَابِ وَيُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَأَنْ يَقِيَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ شَرَّ الْأَشْرَارِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ مُجِيبٌ. And I ask Allah the Almighty to guide those who have gone astray to the correct path, to bring them out from darkness into light, and to protect the Muslims from the evil of the wicked. Verily, He is the All-Hearing, the One who responds. Verily, He is the All-Hearing, the One who responds. So he begins the first topic now. He says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ مَا جَاءَ فِي تَعْظِيمِ أَمْرِ الْقَتْلِ وَخَطَرِهِ فِي الشَّرَائِعِ السَّابِقَةِ. What has been mentioned regarding the sanctity and danger of killing, of murder. What has been mentioned regarding the sanctity and danger of killing in previous legislations. In the previous legislations. قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ أَحَدِ بِنِي آدَمَ. Allah the Almighty, He said regarding one of the sons of Adam, فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And so the soul of the other one, the later one, encouraged him and made fear seeming to him the murder of his brother. He murdered him and became one of the losers. Of the losers. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. And Allah the Almighty, He said, because of that, you need the murder of one of the sons of Adam, of the other. Because of that, we ordained for the children of Israel that if anyone killed a person, not in retaliation or murder, or at spread of mischief in the land, it would be as if he had killed all mankind. And if anyone saved a life, it would be as if he saved the life of all mankind. It would be as if he saved the life of all mankind. This is because a person, if he deems it permissible to murder someone unlawfully, it's like he has no respect for the people's blood. So he will murder and murder, and he will not stop. To murder one person is like murdering them all, and it's all the same to him. He will murder those whom he likes. He has no limits. And likewise, those who deem the blood of the people sacred, those who deem the blood of the people sacred and unlawful, he does not shed that. It's like he's keeping all of mankind alive, and he meaning that all of the people are safe from him, because one soul he will not touch. So therefore, all of them are safe from him. But the one who violates the sanctity, the blood and the life of one soul, is like violating them all. Meaning he deems them all to be permissible. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. And likewise the gravity of that. Likewise the gravity and the sin of that. It's been narrated from Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah, from the great scholars of the Tabi'een, from the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he died in the year 95. He said, مَنْ اسْتَحَلَّ دَمَ مُسْلِمًا فَكَأَنَّمَا اسْتَحَلَّ دِمَاءَ النَّاسِ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ حَرَّمَ دَمَ مُسْلِمًا فَكَأَنَّمَا حَرَّمَ دِمَاءَ النَّاسِ جَمِيعًا. That whoever declares the blood of a Muslim to be lawful, then it's as if he declared the blood of all of mankind to be lawful. It's like he's declaring the blood of all of them to be lawful. And whoever considers the blood of a Muslim sacred, it's as if he's declaring the blood of all of the people to be sacred. And he meaning that if he declares it lawful, then he would declare it lawful. And likewise others as well. Others as well. There's no limits for him. As for the one who sees it to be sacred, then the one who sees the souls to be sacred, then all of them are safe from him. Then all of them are safe from him. And the Shaykh, he says, وَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تُقْتَلُ نَفْسٌ ظُلْمًا إِلَّا كَانَ عَلَى بِنِي آدَمَ الْأَوَّلِ كِفْلٌ مِنْ دَمِهَا إِلَّا كَانَ عَلَى بِنِي آدَمَ الْأَوَّلِ كِفْلٌ مِنْ دَمِهَا لِأَنَّهُ أَوَّلُ مَنْ سَنَّ الْقَتْلِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no soul is killed unjustly, but that the first son of Adam will have a share of its blood, because he was the first to initiate killing. رواه البخاري ومسلم. It's narrated by البخاري and Muslim. So this is the case, and we know the narration which has come in Sahih Muslim, of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajri radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةٍ حَسَنًا كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَنْقُصَ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْءٌ. That whoever initiates a good sunnah in al-Islam, then the first to do a righteous and good deed that is legislated, and the people, they follow that, he initiated that affair, he will have the reward of that and the reward of those who follow him in that without decreasing their reward whatsoever. وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً كان عليه وزرها وزر من أمر بها من بعده من غير أن ينقص من أوزارهم شيء. And whoever initiates an evil sunnah, an evil way, a path contrary to that which is lawful and permissible, whether in worship, from innovation and the likes like this, or whether in sin and transgression of people's rights, like here, violating the sanctity of one's blood, then they will bear the sin of that and the sin of those who work by way of that after them without decreasing their sins whatsoever. Allah, He mentioned this in His book, likewise, لِيَحْمِلُ أَوْزَارَهُمْ كَامِرَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمِنْ أَوْزَارِ الَّذِينَ يُضِلُّونَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَزِيرُونَ. That they shall bury the burdens of their own sins completely. They shall bury the burden of their own sins completely on the day of resurrection, and likewise the sins of those who they misled without knowledge. Likewise the sins of those who they misled without knowledge and did evil is that which they will bear. So this is a great warning from getting involved in these trials and these fitin, of getting involved in these trials and these fitin, especially whenever there's bloodshed and there's fighting between the Muslims, because a person, he will bear the burden of that. And some of them, maybe they do not get physically involved, but they encourage them and they rile them up. And they're the Khawarij al-Qa'ida, those who sit back in the cut, and those who rile up the youth and the likes like this, and they admonish them and they give fiery sermons and the likes, and mislead the youth and misguide the ignorant and encourage them to fall into these great crimes and these hideous affairs. Why they sit back and send their own sons to American colleges and the likes like this. This is well known about the Khawarij of our days. This is well known about the Khawarij of our days. May Allah protect us from them and give them what they deserve. It has been mentioned by Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, in this verse here, and with regards to the son of Adam and the recompense. He says, he mentioned without a chain, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال دخلت على عثمان يوم الدار. دخلت على عثمان يوم الدار. He said, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, I entered upon Uthman and in his house, يوم الدار, the day of the dar. What day is that? يوم الدار. Allahu a'lam, the day the Khawarij, they broke in his house and murdered him. The day the Khawarij, they raided his house and murdered him. They had encompassed him. They encompassed him for days, radiallahu anhu, in his home. And then initially, they got bold enough until they entered and they murdered him. And they murdered him, radiallahu anhu. Allah musta'an. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, I entered upon Uthman on that day. فَقُلْتُ جِدْتُ لِأَنْصُرَكَ وَقَدْ طَابِ الدَّرْبِ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said, I came to aid you. And the striking has become good. You need the people are thinking good about striking with the sword now. The idea is spreading now, and they're thinking it's a good idea to start striking with the sword, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ. So Uthman, he says, يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ, أَوْ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رضي الله عنه, أَيَسُرُّكَ أَن تَقْتُلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَإِيَّايَ مَعَهُمْ. Will you be pleased to kill all mankind and me along with them? قُلْتُ لَا. He said, no. قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ إِن قَتَلْتَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلْتَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. He said, indeed, if you kill one man, it's like you killed all of mankind. If you murder one man, it's like you murder all of mankind. Imagine this bravery and also sincerity and also trust and reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal, and certainty in the decree and the command of Allah. His house is surrounded by criminals. His house is surrounded by revolutionaries. They're bloodthirsty. He's alone by himself, radiallahu anhu, in his house, Uthman ibn Affan, Dhu al-Nurayn, radiallahu anhu. And then Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is coming to give him his help, to assure him, I will help you. I will stand by your side. I will defend you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. And this is what he tells him. Will you be pleased to kill all of mankind and me along with them? He said, no, of course not. He said, if you kill one person, if you fight one of those Muslims, it's like you have killed all of mankind. It's like you have killed all of mankind. فَانْصَرِفْ مَأْذُونًا لَكَ مَأْجُورًا غَيْرَ مَأْزُورٍ. He said, then go. Then Uthman, he told him, radiallahu anhu, فَانْصَرِفْ, get out of here. Leave. Go away. مَأْذُونًا لَكَ. You're allowed to go away. I'm allowing you to go away. There's no problem. مَأْجُورًا. You will be rewarded, inshallah, غَيْرَ مَأْزُورٍ. Without any sin. قَالَ فَانْصَرَفْتُ وَلَمْ أُقَاتِلَ. He said, so I left. I didn't fight. Abu Hurairah, he was from those, along with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas and others, who, and Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum, i'tazalu al-fitan. They stayed all away from the fighting. All of the fighting that occurred in their times, they avoided all of that. The fighting that occurred between the Muslims, they avoided all of that. This narration here, as I mentioned, was mentioned by Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, without a chain, without any reference, likewise. But there's a great scholar of our day, his name is Ahmed Shakir, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Misri. And he, a great scholar of hadith, he summarized Tafsir Ibn Kathir into three large volumes. It's called Al-Umda fi Tafsir. And then he has commentary at the bottom, and he, in his summarization, he verified the text and removed all of the weak text, and also he has beneficial commentary. So here he says, قال أحمد شاكر رحمه الله في عمدة العمدة في التفسير هذا الخبر لم يبين الحافظ ابن كثير مخرجه. This narration here, Ibn Kathir, he didn't mention where it's found, its source, any from the reliable books. From the reliable books. وَقَدْ رَوَاهُ إِبْنُ سَعْدٍ فِي الطَّبَقَاتِ وَإِسْنَادُهُ صَحِيحٌ جِدًّا. He says, Rahimahullah, and Ibn Sa'd, he narrated this narration in a book called Tabaqat, any Tabaqat of the Ruwat, which is a book about the biographies of the narrators. And it's an older book. Ibn Sa'd, he died in the year 230. And he said, he mentioned Ibn Sa'd, he narrated this narration with a chain in that work. بِإِسْنَادٍ وَإِسْنَادُهُ صَحِيحٌ جِدًّا. And the chain is very authentic. The chain is very authentic. And meaning that this is an affirmed story that happened between Amir al-Mu'mineen, Uthman ibn Affan, and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum. So this is the way, even in times of fitan, you see the people of firm resolve, the people of knowledge, the people of sincere and true faith, they're steadfast and they do not waver. They're steadfast and they did not waver. They follow the text, they follow the evidence. What did he recite to him? He recited to him the verse from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even though he's facing death, death is at his door literally. Death is at his door literally. And still he would not allow them to get involved. Rather, he ordered him to hold fast to the text that has reached him from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the trial. In life in general, in times of direct fitan and also in times of obscure fitan. Now maybe it's not clear, but right now we're in days of fitan. We're in days of fitan, and we're trying like this with these texts. We have to prefer the text and follow the guidance that we know in every aspect of life. In every aspect of life. Not just, for example, here. This is no doubt a major affair. But likewise in every aspect, in contracts and dealings with our people, or in covenants or in treaties, or agreements that we have with our families, or whatever the case may be, or finances and the way that we earn a living. All of this, we're trying with evidences and proof from the Qur'an and Sunnah. We have to prefer that. We have to prefer that and hold fast to that. And inshallah, those who are truthful and sincere, Allah will aid them. Those who are truthful and sincere, Allah will aid them. This is in all aspects of life. But here, especially in this fitan, the salaf, they will not get involved. And then I order others to get involved. Rather, they hold fast to the evidences that they know. And they put their trust and reliance upon Allah. And they accepted the decree and the command of Allah. And they died in honor and in dignity. In a manner that's pleasing. And not in a manner that's lowly. Or in a manner that's blameworthy. Like many of those who got involved in the fitan and died in that manner. They died a death. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ that many did not praise. That many did not praise. Any from those from the tabi'een and those after them who were involved in those fitan. Who were involved in those fitan. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he mentioned in Fath al-Bari on this narration here, no soul is killed unjustly, but the first son of Adam will have a share of its blood. Because he was the first to initiate killing. لا تقتل نفس ظلما إلا كان على ابن آدم الأول كفل من دمها لأنه أول من سن القتل. He said, رحمه الله, إن الحديث أصل في أن المعونة على ما لا يحل حرام. أصل أن هذا الحديث أصل في أن المعونة على ما لا يحل حرام. This narration here is a fundamental principle clarifying that helping someone to do that which is not lawful is haram. It's haram. So to help somebody do anything that's not lawful, this is haram. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentioned a fatwa similar like this. It's not allowed. It's not allowed to help a Christian person purchase or sell swine, for example, or alcohol, because these things are forbidden in our religion. So just because he does not deem it to be forbidden, it's not allowed to help him with that. You cannot sell him pork, or you cannot bring him swine and the likes like this, or give him a gift of alcohol, or sell it to him. Or the likes like this. This is not allowed. This is all from ta'awun ala al-ithm wal-udwan, wal-yadhi bila, cooperating upon sin and transgression. So Allah, He mentioned in His book, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and cooperate upon piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, do not cooperate upon sin and transgression. So this is another evidence with regards to that. It's not allowed to cooperate and help one another upon sin and transgression. So he says, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْ رَسُولِهِ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ لِلْخَضِرِ أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُقْرًا. And Allah the Almighty, He said regarding His Messenger Musa عليه السلام, whenever he addressed Al-Khadir, have you killed an innocent person who killed no one? Have you killed an innocent person who has killed no one? Verily you have committed a thing that is nukra, yani a great evil and a great sin. And he meaning this is something that is known. Musa, he knows that murder is a tremendous evil and a great sin. That's why he considered it this way. He was not aware of the reality of that, but this is what was apparent to him. And he judged based upon that. And murder is a tremendous evil and a great sin. وقال عنه فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه قال هذا من عمل الشيطان إنه عدو مضل مبين قال ربي إني ظلمت نفسي فاغفر لي فغفر له إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. And Allah also, He said about Musa عليه السلام, and the man of his own party asked him for help against his enemy, so Musa struck him with his fist and killed him. And Musa was very strong. He came to help his friend who was in need. Being oppressed, he hit him one time. And he knocked him out. And the man was killed. He said, This is the doing of the devil. This is from the work of the devil. Verily, he's a plain misleading enemy. He said, my Lord, verily I have wronged myself, so forgive me. Then he forgave him. Verily, he is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. So it's clear here that murder is not allowed. This is something that is well known, even in the previous legislations. The author, he says, وَفِي صَحِّ مُسْلِمْ and سَالِمْ ibn عَبْدِ ibn عُمَرْ Umar radiallahu anhum. أَنَّهُ قَالَ يَا أَهْلَ الْإِرَاقِ مَا أَسْأَلَكُمْ عَنِ الصَّغِيرَةِ وَأَرْكَبَكُمْ لِلْكَبِيرَةِ مَا أَسْأَلَكُمْ عَنِ الصَّغِيرَةِ وَأَرْكَبَكُمْ لِلْكَبِيرَةِ سَمِعْتُ أَبِي عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما يقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الفتنة تجيء منها هنا وأومأ بيده نحو المشرق من حيث يطرأ قرنا الشيطان وأنتم يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض وإنما قتل موسى الذي قتل من آل فرعون خطأ فقال الله عز وجل له وقتلت نفسا فنجيناك من الغم وفتناك فتونا. صحيح مسلم. It is narrated from Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar. Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar. This is the son of Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar is a well-known companion, son of a companion. Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, his son is Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, and his son is Salim. He's from the Tabi'in. It's mentioned he's from the Fuqaha Sab'a and the opinion of some of the scholars. In the opinion of some of the scholars, he's from the Fuqaha Sab'a, those who were alive in Medina at one time, from the scholars, from the Tabi'een, some of them included him. So in any case, he has a high and lofty status. He says, O people of Iraq, how much do you ask about minor affairs while you commit major sins? مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَنِ الصَّغِيرَةِ يعني how often are you always asking about these little bitty affairs while at the same time you're perpetrating major crimes? Concerned in asking about rulings regards to minute or little affairs, while at the very same time committing hideous crimes and violations in the deen. He said, how much do you ask about minor affairs while you commit major sins? I heard my father, Abdullah ibn Umar, say, I heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, indeed the trial, the fitna, will come from here. And he pointed with his hand towards the east, from where the two horns of the devil will rise, and you will strike each other's necks. And Musa only killed a man from the people of Fir'aun, by mistake, and so that they will not use him as evidence. And that which happened from Musa was a mistake. He did not intend. He did not intend to kill that man. Rather, he was simply defending the one who was from his people. And in that cause, he made a mistake, and he killed that man. He killed that man because he was very strong, alayhi salatu wasalam. So that was a mistake from him. And Musa only killed a man from the people of Fir'aun by mistake. Allah, he said to him, and you killed a man and we saved you from the great distress. Meaning after Musa killed that man, he was in great distress with regards to that. He was in great distress with regards to that, realizing the sacredness of the blood of the people, that it's not allowed. This is something that was heavy on his heart, that this occurred to him, even though he did not intend to, alayhi salatu wasalam, and tried you with a heavy trial. And we saved you from a great distress, and tried you with a heavy trial. The Shaykh, he says, وَقَوْلُ سَالِمْ ابْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ مَا أَسَلَكُمْ عَنَ الصَّغِيرَ وَأَرْكَبَكُمْ لِهِ الْكَبِيرَ يُشِيرُ بِذَلِكِ إِلَى مَا جَاءَ عَنْ عَبِيهِ فِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي أَنَّهُ سَأَلَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِرَاقِ عَنْ دَمِ الْبَعُوضِ فَقَالَ انظُرُوا إِلَى هَذَا يَسْأَلُنِي عَنْ دَمِ الْبَعُوضِ وَقَدْ قَتَلُوا ابْنَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَسَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ هُمَا رَيْحَانَتَايَ من الدنيا يعني الحسن والحسين رضي الله عنهما سالم ابن عبد الله his statement what he's referring to here in this narration how much do you ask about minor affairs while you commit major sins refers to what is narrated from his father in Sahih Bukhari where a man from Iraq asked him about the blood of mosquitoes and he what's the expiation for killing a mosquito if somebody killed a mosquito what's the expiation for that And he said, look at this one. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, look at this one. He asked me about the blood of mosquitoes while they have killed the grandson of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people, they murdered the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's asking about the blood of a mosquito. Look how backwards they are. Look how backwards they are. Wadiyadhu billah. He said, and I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, they, Al-Hasan and Hussein, are my two sweet bases from this world. And he, Rihanataya, something that the pleasant smell, the meaning that they're dear to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're very close and dear to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here they murdered him. Wadiyadhu billah. And then they ask about the blood of a mosquito. Subhanallah. It's come in Al-Mustad by Imam Ahmed, the story of Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn al-Arit. Khabbab ibn al-Arit, radiallahu anhu, he's a companion. So his son is Abdullah ibn Khabbab. Abdullah ibn Khabbab is from the Tabi'een. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he was in his home one time and the Khawarij, they came to his village. And whenever they came in a terrifying manner. They entered his village. And Abdullah ibn Khabbab, he's there. فَخَرَجَ ذَرِعًا يَجُورُ رِدَاءَهُ He came out of his home. And whenever they came in, the way they came in, he came out of his home terrified, scared, dragging the upper garment, dragging it, and he's not even fully dressed, meaning came outside with the izaran, dragging his garment, to see what's happening. فَقَالُوا لِمَّا تُرَعَ They said, what are you afraid of? Look at them, huh? The Khawarij, what are you afraid of? Afraid of you. You and your swords, waliyadhu billah, and your crazy methodology and mentality. A'udhu billah. What are you afraid of? Qala wallahi laqad ru'tumuni. He said, I swear by Allah, you scare me. People scare me the way you entered the village. Qalu anta Abdullah ibn Khabbab, sahib Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, you're Abdullah ibn Khabbab. Meaning you're the son. Abdullah, the son of Khabbab, who was the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala na'am. He said, yes. And my father was a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ فَهَلْ سَمِعْتَ مِنْ أَبِيكَ حَدِيثًا يُحَدِيثُهُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said, did you hear your father narrate any narrations from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? قَالَ نَعْمْ سَمِعْتُهُ يُحَدِّثُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَنَّهُ ذَكَرَ فِتْنَةً الْقَاعِدُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ القائم والقائم فيها خير من الماشي والماشي فيها خير من السعي خير من السعي قال فإن أدركت ذلك فكن عبد الله المقتول ولا تكن عبد الله القاتل He said, yes, I did. I have heard my father narrate on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah knows best, he heard him narrate a number of narrations, of course, right? But the one that he chose to remind them of, and this is from his wisdom, and likewise bravery. And putting the proof, and mentioning the proof in the time of need. He said, yes, I heard my father narrate on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard him saying that he mentioned some fitna, trials and tribulations that will occur. The one who's sitting in them is better than the one who is standing. The one who's standing in them is better than the one who's walking. And the one who's walking in them is better than the one who is hastening. And if that time catches you, and if these fitin catch up with you, and you are alive in those times, whenever they occur, then you should be the slave of Allah who is murdered, not the slave of Allah who is murdering. You should be the slave of Allah who is murdered, al-maqtool, wa la takun abdallahi al-qatil. But do not be the slave of Allah who is killing, and doing the murdering. And he be the best of the two sons of Adam. Be the best of the two sons of Adam. And do not get involved even if you lose your life. Do not get involved even if you lose your life. He has a salaf in that. Who is that? Uthman ibn Affan, right? He's just proceeded. He has a salaf in that. Don't get involved even if you lose your life. And Uthman could have easily riled up to people. Yeah, Abu Hayy, go get the rest of the Sahaba. Go get so-and-so. Yes, get me out of here. Right? Get me out of this house. Come and get them from this side and flank them from that side. He could have declared war against them and it would have been great bloodshed, but he wanted to avoid all of that. He wanted to save the Muslims from that trial and that blood being shed, especially at his hands and for his cause. Waliyadhu billah. So Abdullah ibn Khabbab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrated to them what he heard from his father, Khabbab ibn al-Arit radiallahu anhu, from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the fitna. And he apparently, what is clear for him, that these people are people of fitna. They need to hear the likes of these narrations to be admonished. Do you think they were admonished? He says, قالوا سمعت هذا من أبيك يحدث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Said, you heard that from your father narrating on the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال نعم. He said, yes, that's what I heard. قال, and the narrator says, قال فقدموه على ضفة النهر. The narrator is narrating this. He's one of the Khawarij, but he repented. He was one of them with them. He witnessed this affair, but he repented later. He says, فقدموه على ضفة النهر فضربوا عنقه فسال دمه كأنه شراك النعل. كأنه شراك النعل مم ذكره لن يتفرق. And he says, so whenever at this time, whenever he said, yes, that's what I heard from the Messenger of Allah, they took him to the side of the river and they struck his neck with the sword and they killed him right there. He said, I witnessed his blood and they threw him in the river. His blood is spilling in the river. His blood is spilling in the river, running like a shoelace. Right, and it didn't spread out. His blood is just running down the river like a shoelace. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Then after that, they didn't stop. وَبَقَرُوا أُمَّ وَلَدِهِ عَمَّا فِي بَطْنِهَا. And then likewise, he had along with him, Abdullah ibn Arit, he had along with him, Abdullah ibn Khabbab, rahimahullah, he had along with him a woman, she's pregnant with his child. يعني أم ولد. يعني many was a slave woman, but she was pregnant with his child. With his child. So they went to her and they killed her and they took out the child from her stomach. They took out the child from her stomach. So look at these people. Even it's mentioned in some narration that she says, no, I'm pregnant. And if you want to kill me, she's innocent in the first place, right? But no doubt the child's innocent. No doubt the child's innocent. So if you kill her, you're going to kill an innocent child. So if they have any fear of Allah, how could you kill a woman who's pregnant when the child is innocent? 100% innocent. She's innocent too, but even if she was blameful, the child in her womb is pure and free of blame, innocent. So she's, I'm pregnant. I'm carrying an innocent child in my womb. This did not stop them. This did not deter them. This did not hinder them. Rather, they killed her and then they took the baby out and killed it. Likewise, they took the baby out of the womb and they killed it. Likewise, waliyadhu billah. And then they come and ask a fatwa about the blood of a mosquito. The blood of a mosquito. Even their stories likewise that they were moving together and there was some pigs. There were some pigs from a Jewish man or pigs from a Christian man, excuse me. Pigs from a Christian man. One of them hit it. He hit the pig with his sword, with the side of his sword. And they reprimanded him. How are you gonna hit that? That's from a Christian man. He has a contract with us. No, you go and apologize to him and the likes like this. And they look at these affairs like this, like honoring these things in this great manner, but then in reality the blood of their own brothers, they violate that in the most severe manner. in the most lowly manner, wa liyadhi billah. So all of this is a clarification what the author is mentioning, al-hafidhullahu ta'ala, that it's the blood is sacred even in the previous legislations. And this is established in the deen. Every sound mind knows that it's not lawful. It's not lawful to shed the people's blood and to terrorize them, to terrify them. And the likes like this, especially not in the name of deen, innocent people, innocent lives, people who have no experience in combat, people who are not engaged in warfare, people who are civilians, and the likes like this, it's not lawful, it's not allowed. Not from the deen of any prophet or any messenger, alayhi wassalatu wassalam, walhamdulillah. This is from the deen of Iblis, the deen of the devil, waliyadhu billah, and the call of the deviant misguided. So after this, the author says, man ja'a fi qatli al-muslimi nafsahu amdan wa khata'a. What has been mentioned regarding a Muslim killing himself, intentionally or by mistake. Intentionally or by mistake. And he mentions a number of narrations in a similar manner in this portion. Likewise, inshallah, we cover them in our class tomorrow. While we're waiting for the iqamah, we can take any comments or corrections. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakum Allahu khairan. Yes?
The people outside your house, when Abu Hurairah was here to defend, they are considered Muslims or kufar?
The Khawarij. The people of knowledge, they differed about the ruling of the Khawarij. Those initial Khawarij, are they disbelievers? Are they Muslims or disbelievers? The evidence is, there are some strong evidences indicating that they're disbelievers. And from that is that يَمْرُقُونَ مِنَ الرَّمِيَ كَمَا يَمْرُقُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا يَمْرُقُ السَّحْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيَ, that they go out of the religion the same way the arrow goes out of the game. Even some narrations that doesn't leave one trace on the shaft. And you mean when you shoot an arrow and it goes through the game, it doesn't come back. Even in some wordings, it doesn't leave one trace of blood on the shaft. It goes out fast and doesn't even leave a trace. And so if that's how they go out of the religion, the same way the arrow goes out of the game, this is an indication that they have disbelieved, waliyadhu billah. And also the fact that يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يُجَاوِزُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. And meaning that al-Iman did not go into their hearts. Iman didn't go into their hearts. So there are evidences indicating this affair. And for this reason, some of the scholars have declared them to be disbelievers. And Ali himself was asked, radiallahu anhu, he said, min al-kufri farru. Are they disbelievers? He said, min al-kufri farru. He said, they're fleeing from kufr. They're not disbelievers. They don't want to be disbelievers. They're misguided and deviant. They're misguided and deviant. But again, there are evidences that are very strong against them, indicating that they're disbelievers. And the others, they mentioned that they're bugat fusaq, that they're corrupt, deviant, munharifun, mubtadi'ah, the innovators, and Allah knows best. And actually, in the work, the explanation of the Sahih Muslim, mentioned it many times by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Adim, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Adim in Ethiopia, rahimahullah, he mentioned the difference of opinion in a long research, and come to the conclusion in the end that this evidence is that their disbelievers are strong, but there's not enough to go forward. So he says, in this issue, I don't say anything. Allah knows best about their situation. But a lot of the scholars, they consider them to not be disbelievers. They consider them to be wugat. And they're deviants, they're mubtadi'a, they're innovators, and they're people of transgression and the likes like this. But Allah knows best. Allah knows best. Give me had fa'ida, smitha, fa'ida. Yasira, yani. A little one. Hadith. La yihillu li muslimin. أن يروع مسلما أحسنت translate it's not allowed to for a Muslim to scare a Muslim. جزاك الله خيرا. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.